Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday morning. Packers not on the practice field this afternoon because they're on a bye. But we're still here talking Packers because it's what we do Monday through Friday. Packers Daily on Cheesehead TV with Packers fans worldwide. It's like we like to do. I just wanted to babble about draft value for a second. You saw in the title here, draft value being overrated, in my estimation. It's just so interesting to me how the internet has kind of shaped the discourse to a point where all that matters is the quote unquote value of where players are picked in the draft. And obviously a lot of this comes off of AJ Dillon's performance on Sunday and how clearly valuable he is becoming to the Green Bay Packers and their offense, etc. And how ridiculed the Packers were when they selected him in the second round. It's just interesting to me that I understand not wanting to draft running backs early. I understand thinking I can probably get a guy just as productive on day three, rounds five through seven, etc. But value, what does that mean? What is that word? What does it encapsulate, right? And I do think if you're only looking at it through the lens of the position a player plays and his physical skill sets, and you combine those two and you assign a value to him, right? And that is it, and you are done and you are out. Well, then you are missing such a big part of the picture. Obviously, a number one, and this is something I drone on about all the time during the draft season, is the projection of a player and where he is headed. You know, a skill set that he might possess in the moment when you are drafting him is hopefully not the end. It's not where he stops. It is literally where he begins on his journey in the NFL. And you are trying to project where he is headed going forward. This is a big component that gets missed in most draft analysis. I'd say 90% of it. And the other component, and I've talked about this on Transplants and here on Daily, is obviously the human component, how he interacts, what kind of guy is he, how is he going to fit in your locker room, how is he going to fit with the coaching staff. And these are things that I know get poo-pooed and dismissed by a lot of people who cover the league, especially the draft industrial complex. But they have insane amounts of value. That's just as much value, say, as what his 40 time is. The 40 time, yes, you can click a watch and you can see it and put it on a piece of paper and say that's what it is. I understand that. You know, the values I'm talking about, the value of a player and how he fits within your program or system, isn't so easily measured. It's just so funny to me that because one thing is so easily put down and printed and pixelated and put on your computer screens, everyone thinks that's it. That's all there is. When there so clearly is, there's so much more. So I just hope, if I leave this earth and leave behind nothing else, here's my gravestone. He was a father of three adorable girls. He loved them very much. And oh, all players have value. And it's a little bit more than the draft industrial complex would have you believe. That's all. It's just been bugging me. It's been really bugging me, especially watching AJ kind of flourish these last couple weeks, be given opportunities. And then still, to this day, getting, oh, they still overdrafted him in my mentions. It's like, man, the internet has warped some people's brains. And it is my mission to rid them of the value disease that the draft industrial complex has left them with. All right, I'm done rambling. Good to see everybody in the comments. Good morning. Hope you're all doing well. What we got here? What we got? I'm going to be short today. GPP Daily, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Had to pause Matt and Corey's AJ Dillon postgame show to catch you live. They're a pretty dynamic duo. Yes, Corey joined Matt Ramage after Carry the G last night. If you didn't catch it live, it was a lot of fun. Matt and Corey are quite the pair. Good stuff. Jeezy Baby, thanks for the super chat. I value Cheesehead TV. Well, thank you. We value you too. Chris, thanks for the super chat. I admit I was critical of the AJ Dillon pick, was short-sighted as I love the man now. Also, please tell me there's no way Aaron misses the Chicago game. There's no way Aaron misses the Chicago game. Kelvin, thanks for the super chat. Coming to my first Packers game from Ireland on our honeymoon. Well, you've got a very special lady there. We'll be there for the Bears game. Patreon meetup happening. Much else in Green Bay to see. Kelvin, the Green Bay, the Patreon meetup is happening, but it is way past capacity. I am so sorry, buddy. We've been saying on the Patreon page for the last couple weeks, I got to message us to sign up. And I've been saying it here on daily. So I'm sorry you missed that boat. But shoot me a message on Patreon. And we'll at least find a way to say hello. But there will be plenty of other things to do, obviously, in and around Green Bay, around the stadium. Enjoy the fucking game, because it is going to be a great one. Dylan, thanks for the super chat. How good is the broken toe for Love? I mean, it's great in the sense that he gets to practice with the ones, right? I mean, he's getting all these reps that he normally would not. So in that sense, 100 billion percent, yes. And look, it also helps in the sense of if Aaron were to re-injure the toe or get hurt in the game, he can actually come in having practiced as opposed to having to come in cold without any practice reps throughout the week. So yes, very, very much a good thing in that regard. Goot is the MVP this season, dealing with all that bullish. You see, that's the funny thing, though. He doesn't have to deal with it. You know, he's not on Twitter. He's not on the internet for half, for most of his life, for God's sakes. You know, he's working. He's doing his thing. And a lot of that noise and nonsense, he just never reaches him, which is probably a good thing. Chris, thanks for the super chat. Thank you. My mind is at ease now. Always happy to help. Michael, thanks for the super chat, man. I want the Cardinals to crush the Bears' body. Then I want Bane Gary to break their spirit. Then the Bears have my permission to die. That's so good. If I would have known where that was headed, I would have done it in Bane voice. Oh, here we go. Daniel, I have to disagree with how you closed yesterday, and I stand by what I've said all season. If the Packers win the Super Bowl, Rodgers will be back in 2022. Daniel, no one will be happier if Aaron Rodgers is back next year than Olive Nagler, because that means she gets a dog. So you and Olive are both rooting for it. Rock and roll, man. Marshall, thanks for the super chat. Draft value can only be assessed in what a player becomes. Tyreek Hill was drafted in the 5th round, 2 picks after we drafted Trevor Davis. Whoo, baby. It's a good one. Accidental Hero, thanks for the super chat. If you ask my New Yorker wife where we honeymoon, she says the Packers Hall of Fame. That's misleading. We spent most of it in Door County. That's good. PackDAC, can you briefly explain how the front office structure works? If you're talking about the personnel side of things, or are you talking about all the way up to Murphy? Because it's Murphy, obviously, the CEO, and now he has 3 people from football reporting to him. Russ Ball, cap manager. Brian Gutekunst, general manager, who has final say over the entirety of the roster and all football personnel decisions. And Matt LaFleur, head coach. He also has reporting to him, however, on the business side, Ed Policy, who is probably next in line when Murphy must retire in, I think it's 4 years, 3 years now? The retirement age is coming up. I think it's 70 is the hard cutoff, and he's close to that. But Ed is the one who has taken over a lot of the Titletown development stuff, kind of spearheading the business side, while Murphy has been a little bit more. It's not like he's in game plan meetings or whatever, but he is much more involved on the football side than he was when Ted was here. But that is kind of how it's set up. Mark is obviously the top, and then the 3-headed football side reports to him. And they each meet supposedly every week, maybe sometimes every other week. But, back in the day when Ted was there, they never met. It was just Ted running the shop. And that's where things kind of started to deteriorate. I still contend that's in large part to the fact that we all saw Ted kind of starting to lose his faculties a little bit. He was getting sick. And then things kind of spiraled from there. I would have been very interested to see how things would have unfolded if Brian Gutekunst would have been given the job that he interviewed for. Because don't ever forget, Brian interviewed for a gig that was the one Ted had. And then when they offered it to him, they said, oh, by the way. So that's always kind of weird to me. But that is currently the setup. And then under Brian, if you're talking about personnel, he's got a bunch of lieutenants. Milt Hendrickson is his A number one, who he brought over from Baltimore, as far as personnel scout kind of guy. John Eric Sullivan, Woj is there. There's a number of scouts then down the line. But that is how the personnel or the front office is set up right now. Hope that was, you know, as close as it was quick, but also as thorough as I could get it. Ed Policy sounds like a fake name. Madden Franchise fake. No, he's actually a really cool dude. Corey and I, this is true, met him at dinner a couple years ago. We were at the Northland Hotel, and he was there with Jason Wallers, who's the head of communications. And we bumped into them in the lobby of the hotel. And we were pretty embarrassed because we were like, you know, blogger schmoes, and they were like at a nice dinner. So, but he was really nice. He's been really good to Cheesehead TV. He's a good guy. And his father, Carmen Policy, was with the 49ers for a long time. And then I think with the Browns when they kind of came back to life in 99. Jeezy Baby, thanks for the super chat. You telling me that Murphy and Matt LaFleur don't have meetups each week to go over game plans? No, that is exactly what I'm telling you. Kent, thanks for the super sticker. Much appreciated. Make sure I didn't miss any super chats. I don't think I did. Very good. Oh, my God. Dude, no lie, Nickelback played over you just as you replied to my Rogers comment, now I want to die. Well, that's what you get for questioning my judgment. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. Does Donald Driver deserve a spot in the Ring of Honor in your eyes? Oh, Matt Mamba, why are you throwing tough ones at me? You're supposed to be making funny videos. By the way, I got your weed transfer. I'll put that up after I'm done here. No, probably not. Love Donald. All-time great. He's not a Hall of Famer, though. Typically, they put Hall of Famers on the ring, and Donald doesn't quite rise to that level. Packer Hall of Famer, no question about it. All-time leading receiver, etc. Great story. You talk about draft value, seventh-round pick. Great Packer through and through. I don't put him on the ring, though. Those are Hall of Famers, man. You know, Charles Woodson, first ballot. Reggie White, Brett Favre, those are the guys that go. Donald Driver, just don't think so. 21 getting retired, you mean the number? I doubt it. They've got plenty of numbers retired already, and I think eventually they'll kind of not put it in mothballs, but they'll put it away for a while and then bring it back, and they'll be judicious with how they utilize it, but I don't think they're going to retire the number. If the Packers can get two or three high draft picks for Rodgers in the offseason, let him go. Tom, that might just be what happens. 21 retired because of Bowju. There is no greater name in football history than Bowju. I love it. Leroy Butler, yes. Now, Leroy Butler, when he goes into the Hall of Fame finally, put him on the facade. No doubt. Noah, thanks for the super chat. Took the time to read When Pride Still Mattered. Tell me this team building of the O-line doesn't remind you of the Granite Pillars, 100%. What I love about the way Gutekunst has built the O-line is growing an offensive line. That's something I heard a long time ago from a personnel guy here in New York. It was like the best teams grow their offensive lines organically through the draft. You know, mid, late picks, guys that can build and grow together in a program. And that's what they've done. These last 2 years, you look at the guys they've drafted. And then, of course, Stenovich is a big component here. And Matt's offense, you know, that all came together at the same time. But, man, they've really made it a priority. And some teams, you know, they just go out and spend a lot of money on a guard or maybe a tackle, whatever. But they're not growing the offensive line together. That's what the Packers have done really successfully now, both under Ted and with Brian. But yes, that book, if you guys have not read it, here, read this book. It is phenomenal. Can't recommend it enough. Brandy, if you got $1 for every IR question, how much would you have? A lot of dollars. Matt Ramage is here. What's up, Matt Ramage? How you doing, buddy? Good to talk to you last night. Thanks for coming on. If you didn't see Matt on Carry the G last night with AJ Dillon, be sure you check it out here on the YouTube channel. He's been fantastic. When Butler gets in, my fight in Waupun Correctional will be redeemed. I love it. I used to drive by Waupun Correctional every Christmas. My grandma Nagler, my dad's mom, lived in Waupun. Good times. Good memories. Here we go. I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce that name. Hi, Alex here. Hi, Alex. Can we all please stop with the AR staying going somewhere? A lot of ball game left this season, and with 2022 cap, Green Bay can't pay everyone anyway. Normally, I'd agree, but it's the bye week, man. You know, it's all right. People got to speculate. It's cool. It's a bye week. Time to chill out and talk about whatever the hell you want. But I get it. But do not get it twisted. I am right there with you. I totally understand. Carmen, thanks for the super chat. Last week, I doubted the Packers would be able to run the ball against the Rams. Do I owe the O-line an apology, or was it all A.J. Dillon? It's always a combination. They certainly didn't displace the Rams' defensive front. I think they did a little better than I expected them to, that's for sure. But A.J. made a lot of that happen. There's no doubt about it. And Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones had a couple runs where there doesn't seem to be anything blocked up, and he squeezes through, gets small, and gets like 4 or 5 yards. So I think the backs are pretty damn talented, and that certainly helps. But they did a better job than I was expecting them to. And look, man, there's young guys. That's the other – like Runyon had a rough game against Donald. But so everybody does, you know. It's not like there's any shame in that. But yeah, no, I think they played well. I don't think they had a banner day by any means, but they were able to be effective with the run game, which is all you really need. Chris, thanks for the super chat. Just want to say I appreciate everything you and Corey do for all us Packers fans. As it's been said before, you give us a platform not a lot of team fan bases have. Can't say enough how grateful we are. Thank you so much, Chris. That's really, really appreciated. Thank you so much. I think the defense is playing much more together than years past. Bunch of talented individuals versus a cohesive unit. Liz Alicious, I very much agree with that sentiment. As far as the fronts being married with the coverages, you've seen it slip sometimes, and I think that's to be expected in a, you know, scheme transition first year. And I do think one of the reasons that hasn't been as pronounced and or problematic as maybe it might have been is because they did keep, for the most part, the entirety of the defensive staff on hand. Like Joe came in and, you know, obviously taught the scheme and said, this is how I want it, but they've got the same voices. And I think that has really helped. So I think it's a combination of the scheme, what Joe has emphasized, and then the teachers, the guys in the room doing the teaching, are all voices that the guys already knew. So I think you put all that together, and that's a big part of why you're seeing that. Again, it's never, you know, it's not perfect. Obviously there's some slips here and there, but for the most part, I think it's been surprisingly smooth as a transition. 12 can receive gifts? Question mark. I don't know, Tony, but I did send him a new Star Wars sweatshirt so he can stop wearing that god-awful Rise of Skywalker sweatshirt. Represent Star Wars properly. Who would make the biggest difference coming off IR? Got to be Jair, right? I think it's got to be Jair. I mean, you want to get 69 out there, want to get Josh Myers out there, definitely want to get Z back in the fold, but Jair changes the kind of the what would you call it, the equation, especially from a coverage standpoint, especially how teams want to attack you or game plan against you, changes everything. Z has obviously got to be accounted for. Bakhtiari is a all pro, great player. Josh will help you, especially in the run game, improve there, etc. But Jair just changes the entire idea of what your defense is. I mean, you can literally set him and forget him if you want. Now, they're never going to go every play like that, but he can legit just take whoever you want out of a game. And yeah, there are going to be completions here and there, etc. No one's perfect, but that's the power. That's the chess piece that he is. So yeah, Jair would be number one for me. Nags, I'm begging you. You got to ask Rodgers about his hemorrhoids. No chance. Although that shit from AJ Hawk yesterday had me absolutely dying. I was crying laughing. Campbell off the COVID list would be great. Brandy, well, hey, perfect timing. You went on the COVID list just as they're going to the bye week. Hopefully he's back, ready to go for the next game. No worse for wear. Obviously, A, number one, hope he, A, doesn't have COVID, and B, that if he does, he's symptom-free, and if he does have symptoms, that he doesn't get sick, really sick. All of that comes before getting him back on the football field. But provided all that is okay, hopefully he's ready for the Bears game. be wild if Green Bay met the Pats in the Super Bowl and it didn't, again, involve Brady. That would be kind of crazy. I thought of that the other day. That'd be a lot of fun. Aaron, who's a better kicker, Longwell or Crosby? Whoa, that's a good one. Probably Crosby on balance, but both obviously excellent. Everyone smash the like button. Thanks, Dean. I think that's a good place to leave it. I'm going to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday. It's what we do. Join us tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern. Corey Banky and myself, Packer Transplants Live, bye week edition. It's going to be a lot of fun. Please do hit like, hit subscribe, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack Go.